And welcome to The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Steve Vaughn, also in studio, a couple of homeschooling dads, as we discuss current events and current situation. Indeed, the men of Issachar were understanding the times, and it's important for us to understand the times, at least to the extent where we may minister to our present situation. And so we're going to look at a number of indices, social indices that have come out in just the last week or so. We have followed these over the years. I can remember a number of years ago, I'd quote the statistic, 35% of children are born outside of wedlock, and now that's up to 40-41%. And so these are the statistics that are affecting our lives. They affect our families. They affect our churches. And so as Christians, we should understand, what is the biblical response to these things? Now, again, NBC has come out with another story. STDs continue rapid rise in the U.S., setting new record, according to the Center for Disease Control. And we treated this just last year as well. Last year set new records. Yeah. This year sets new records. And apparently it's on the largest climb. The statistics, as far as STDs are concerned, sexually transmitted diseases are concerned, are now on the largest increase in history, 76% increase in syphilis in 4 years, 67% increase on gonorrhea in the last 4 years. And, you know, at least the first question to ask is, why? And I think the answer is that there are no more social restraints left that I can think of. If you think about where things were in the 1960s, 1970s, there was just a little bit of a social conscience left relating to things like cohabitation. There was a little bit of a sense that a child should be born in a nuclear family with a mother and a father. That would be a healthy condition for a child. Today, since programs like Murphy Brown and other programs produced in the 1990s, the whole attitude towards any kind of sexual sin has pretty much been dismissed. So are there any normal restraints left, any other social restraints left? I can't think of any, Steve. So it makes sense that there would be an increase of sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, the idea that the government can fix this problem by, you know, teaching, you know, safe, which now they don't even use the term safe sex anymore. It's safer sex because it's not safe. They're actually promoting the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a nurse, as a professional nurse over 25, 30 years,
yeah,
you have worked on this issue as well. I mean, you've treated people with AIDS. You've treated people with sexually transmitted diseases.
Absolutely.
What's your take on this?
Well, you know, at the risk of being a little bit too out there, when you're promoting safer sex, which a lot of times they say is condoms, the viruses, the size of the virus is smaller than the typical holes that are found in condoms anyway. So essentially what you're doing is akin to throwing a bucket of water against a screen door.
It will stop some of it.
It'll stop some of it, but you're not safe.
Right.
It's, you know, the failure rate at best for pregnancy is 80%. Mm-hmm. You know, 20% failure rate, that is 80% effective against pregnancy, 20%. But with sexually transmitted diseases, it's down to like 50.
Okay.
And so, you know, abstinence works every single time it's tried.
Right. Exactly. Okay. All right. So, but that's not going to be communicated through. Now, this story speaks of how the U.S. has the highest STD rates in the industrialized world. It also they are encouraging federal funding. Apparently, federal funding has dropped 40% for STD prevention over the last 4 or 5 years. So the solution presented, not surprisingly, is the federal government should step in and fix this.
Right.
And this is a little bit akin to a government program to fix the problem of the worldwide flood. I mean, think about as the rain began to fall.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine there was somebody who called for government intervention, right?
Yeah, let's get out the shovels. Let's see if we can build the mountains higher.
Maybe yeah. so, yeah. But at root, I think we need to say that there's a God in the heavens.
Yeah.
And he should be feared. And I think we need to remember that government's not the savior, but Jesus is our savior. And that's the point at which so many people are losing this. They don't understand that Jesus Christ is our savior. They look to government for saving them from temporal issues, right? Or temporary issues.
Yeah.
And certainly diseases constitute something of a temporary problem, right? Most of the time, these things go away. They don't always, but...
No, there are a number of them. There's actually an increasing number that won't go away.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. But still, people are looking to government to solve these problems. And what we should say is, let's look to Jesus. He is the great physician. And I think Jesus saves us from physical issues as well as our spiritual issues. And the spiritual issues are by far the most significant. And we need to present Christ as Savior. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save the world.
Yes.
I mean, literally, he came to save the world. He came to establish a new world, a new heavens and a new earth. He came to redeem us from all these things, and including the root of it all, and that is our sin. And I think that's the point that Christians need to come back to again and again. People are looking to doctors, and people are looking to governments to save them. But we all know that governments and doctors are only going to be a temporary fix, if that. I'm not sure governments really solve the problem of STDs.
No, they try to cure them. You know, so they're basically putting Band-Aids on it. So let's, you know, the STDs run rampant, and then the government says, well, let's try to find new medications to treat it. And really the only treatment, the real safe sex is biblical. One man, one woman who have never had sex before.
And committed to life for each other.
Yeah. So if we just listen to God, this would not be a problem.
God has hardwired a system, and we need to submit to it. And in the end, we need to encourage people to turn to God, turn to Jesus for his salvation from sin. And then let's remember that God's ways are the best ways. His law is not burdensome. His laws are the right ways in which we engage our life on this side. And so sickness gives us an opportunity to consider our lives and to consider how we might get things right with God. And I think that applies to everybody. That applies to Christians, non-Christians alike. As we begin to consider our mortality, as we consider the effects of sin just in general, we need to remember that God is giving us a wake-up call, and there are points at which we need to turn to him and say, Lord, I have fallen short in this area. I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm turning towards Christ, and I'm asking you to save me today. That's the call from everybody who is honestly assessing his condition before God. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here as we take a look at what is going on socially around us. STDs continue to rise in the United States, setting new records according to the CDC. And the Archives of Sexual Behavior have also found that 15% of millennials are virgins. That is 20 to 24-year-old millennials. 15% of them are virgins. And that's actually up from 6% of Gen Xers at the same age, which means that millennials are actually involved less so in sexual behavior, at least this form of sexual behavior. The birth rates in America have dropped 12% since 2006. It's the largest drop since the 1960s. And one reason for this, American women are using more abortifacients. The illegitimacy rate has also dropped from 41% to 40%. So it's topped out at 41%, and then now down about a percent, only 40%, I shouldn't say only, but some 40% of little children born without fathers. And the Institute for Family Studies explains the difference. Virtually the entire decline in unmarried births can be explained compositionally by American women becoming more educated. So it ultimately is the access to contraceptives and abortifacients that have enabled a drop of the birth rate and a drop of the illegitimacy rate at the same time. So why these shifts? What is going on with these cultural shifts right now? The reason why the illegitimacy rate has dropped about a percent and the fornication rates are down is that young men are doing porn and playing video games. There's a piece from the Washington Post that dealt with the same issue and quoted Noah Patterson, 18 years of age, likes to sit in front of several screens simultaneously, a work project, a YouTube clip, a video game. To shut it all down for a date or even a one-night stand seems like a waste of time. For an average date, quote-unquote, you're going to spend at least 2 hours, and in that 2 hours, I won't be doing something I enjoy. He has never had sex, but he likes porn. I'd rather be watching YouTube videos and making money. Sex, he said, is not going to be something people ask you for on your resume. Boy, if that isn't the modern millennial, Steve, I don't know what is. That pretty much explains the zeitgeist of the modern world. Even a one-night stand involves a relationship with a person. It's time-consuming. It impinges on self-centeredness. It impinges on my ability to make money. It impinges on my ability to enjoy sexuality without this person getting in my way. And it impinges on the escape from reality and personality that's so part of the modern zeitgeist. Sad. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really sad. I mean, I hate to say this, but the rise in millennials who are virgins at 20, 24 years of age is directly tied into the massive increase in pornography and the access to the depersonalized form of relationship found on the internet. Friendships are more and more degraded into a Facebook relationship. And of course, that degrades even more as time progresses. Facebook degrading personality, degrading friendships and relationships over time, of course, because that's the modern zeitgeist. And of course, the derelationalized form of sexuality or human intimacy is probably most pronounced in the rise of pornography. And of course, 80% of young men 20 to 24 years of age are doing porn on a weekly or monthly basis, according to a number of the surveys that we have quoted on this program before. So the one-night stand involves a person, and that's a problem for the postmodern. Because remember, the postmodern is like Cain, who's wandering east of Eden as a vagabond in the earth. He kills relationship with his brother and becomes the vagabond in the earth. And this is the derelationalized form of the lonely life of the Sartorian existentialist, who is the brave, lonely man who effectively deals with life all by himself. His worldview is that created by Jean-Paul Sartre, who suggested that hell is other people. And you remember in the play No Exit,
the 4 or 5 people in that play are put in a waiting room for eternity, and they're supposed to interrelate with other persons, and that becomes the very definition of hell, according to John Paul Sartre. So friends, think of this thing in terms of Scripture. Think of this thing in terms of the worldview. The modern world is lonely and completely without truth. The postmodern life has abandoned both truth and relationship in a lost and lonely world, and that's where we are today. And the medium, that is the internet and online pornography and all the rest, constitutes that lifestyle. This is the lifestyle of John Paul Sartre, and it has been mainstreamed for the masses. So that's where we are today, Steve, and I think we need to remember that. This guy who doesn't want to participate in any kind of a sexual relationship, he basically finds it a waste of time. He says the one-night stand, a date, would be a waste of time. It would impinge, it would take 2 hours out of my schedule, and I have so much more important things to do as I do my online porn and as I play my computer games. I just don't want it to impinge on that.
Yeah. So what it comes down to, once again, which it always comes down to, is a matter of the heart. You can have two people that are virgins, but not for the same reason. It's not because they trust in God. It's because they still trust in themselves. And so, you know, just because you're not having the one night stands doesn't make you a moral person.
Right.
It's only by the Spirit of God indwelling in us and causing us to walk in His ways, as Ezekiel says, and making us careful to obey His statutes.
And we like to reduce God's life, God's way, to an externalized, you know, one, single application that kind of works for me.
Yeah.
We like to do that kind of thing. But you're right. Our major problem is that we are all self-oriented and self-centered. The modern world has just allowed us to, you know, mass produce that in our lives. It's enabled it. It's allowed it to be a lot more convenient than it ever was. So it is convenience, the self-oriented lifestyle. But ultimately, we all deal with self. And I think if there's any sin that I am always forced to bring before Jesus is my self-centeredness. I'm all about me way too much. And I realize that it affects my relationships with my kids. It affects my relationships with my wife. And so, you know, this is the sin. This is the thing. And until we come to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness, and then we're restored in our relationship with the Lord, and then we begin to worship God and love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're probably going to be stuck in this self-oriented mindset.
Yeah, it all goes back to the original sin anyway, that we should be as gods, that we determine what's right and wrong for ourselves. And so when we become that self-centered, when we become our own God, that's when we find ourselves in all of these issues with relationship. And it's also, I mean, I think it's exacerbated today by social media too, and the whole texting and social media generation, where relationships are friends on Facebook. You know, how many friends do you have? Well, I've got 5,000 friends. I've got 15,000 friends. I had 20,000 likes on this post. But that's not friendship. That's not relationship. And so that's the same thing. It's a waste of time to this guy.
Yeah.
But
that itself is just kind of an ego-boosting, superficial relationship. But there's so much self-centeredness involved in that, too. Birth rates have dropped 12% to 1.7. It's well below the replacement level in America. And illegitimacy rates have dropped about 1%. And fornication rates are down a bit as well. Why? Men are doing porn. They're playing video games. Women aren't getting married. And women are also getting college degrees. And they're using abortifacients. One thing for sure we know is the more educated women are always using the contraceptives and the abortifacients at a higher rate than those less educated. So this is a point that is constantly made by Planned Parenthood and other feminist organizations.
Yeah, they don't have time for relationship either.
Yeah, exactly. The one ethic that's being taught to women is your career is more important than bearing children. Your career is more important than getting married. That certainly was the message we got out of La La Land, the movie that received all the awards last year. But this is the ethic that's being taught. And I think it's probably the ethic that is inculcated more than any other ethic in the modern world. Now, that may be an exaggeration, but I can't think of another ethic that is, you know, more, it's sort of like shorter catechism number one for Westminster shorter catechism. It's, you know, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I think the shorter catechism for the humanists is woman's chief end is that her career is more important than bearing children. I think that's probably the most important lesson that is sent home again and again through educational institutions, especially universities, year in and year out. Our entire educational system, virtually, and our economic systems are constantly reaffirming this. Your career is more important than bearing children. Your career is more important than bearing children. That's the zeitgeist today. But what does the Word of God say about all of this? And let me close on this, because I think the wisdom of God's word is essential. God's word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And let's come back to God's word, friends, in this lost and lonely world where people are just swimming around in a snowstorm in Antarctica and they can't seem to find any kind of tether to any absolute truth. Let's come back to God's word and embrace the truth that God has given to us. And the word he gave to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone, is so essential to postmodern man, isn't it? I mean, this is the most fundamental message that he gives to Adam. You know, is don't eat of the tree, right? That was number one. Number two is it's not good for man to be alone. And number three was go, you know, number or name the beasts, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't give Adam all that much in terms of revelation, but he certainly did give him this, and that is, it is not good for man to be alone. So I know the modern world, I know John Paul Sartre, I know that most of our media is constantly pushing us back into a self-oriented lifestyle, but friends, this is God's word, it's not good for man to be alone, and of course, that's why he brought a woman to man. And also 1 Timothy 5:14, this is the Apostle Paul, I would therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And then also Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So much wisdom there. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So important. That I think should ring in the minds of every young man and every young woman out there. Now, generally, I know it's the young man's responsibility to be a little bit more of the aggressor, the one who steps forward and said, I'd like to marry you. You know, he's the guy who needs to step forward. And I know there's young women that are waiting for that. But I think the exhortation is strong from the Apostle Paul. And we don't use this enough, Steve, in our youth groups or in our churches with our young people. 1 Corinthians 7 says, because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. If you have the gift of singleness, good. I've only known one or two guys that said, I have the gift of singleness. And then like 2 months later, he's married. Okay, so... So I don't run into very many young men or young women who really have the gift of singleness in the 30 or 40 years of ministry. If you have any sexual drive that seems to be operating, don't give in to sexual sin. Get married. Now, here's the catch 22, Steve, and I want to end on this. Let's suppose that a young man is living in sexual sin. He's living in pornography and other forms. He needs to repent of that first, turn away from it, walk in the light. As Jesus is in the light, join an accountability group, and we are actually establishing an accountability group in our church. We have like 12 or 13 guys have signed up for it. It's you know, been pretty popular. It's going to start in September, and we've done this before, but we're starting an accountability group again, kind of a walking along, talking along group that's going to be in the Word of God and walking in the light as he is in the light. So this is the kind of group where we're opening up, we're confessing, we're walking together, we're counting on the gospel of Jesus Christ to set the captives free, because that's what he told us. Amen.
Amen.
So praise Jesus. He came for this purpose. And, you know, we're signing up for it. Jesus will set the captives free. And these men are signing up for this. But, you know, if you are dealing with sexual sin in your life, especially if it's habitual sin, you need to repent and turn to Jesus and receive that deliverance from Christ, walk in the light and be accountable for a time, and then you get married. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not good if a man is, you know, hanging out with the whores, whether it's online or in, you know, real whores out on the red light districts, and then he gets married that day. Does that make sense?
Right.
I mean, that's tragic.
Yeah.
That's just really tragic. You don't want that to happen. So my encouragement to young men who are dealing with sexual sin with prostitutes, whether it's online or on the streets, they should repent of this, and they should walk in the light as he is in the light, and then they should get married, because it's better to marry than to burn. That's the principle from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So we're ending on these principles that we receive from God's word. And friends, not to divorce the gospel from this at all, but to realize that we are all in need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. So let's turn to Christ. Let's realize forgiveness is with him. We confess our sins. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promised it. He will deliver on it. Confess your sins to Jesus. He'll forgive you of your sins. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. And we're going to end on that. So,
Praise God for that.
And one more thing, get married.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And have kids, a bunch of them.
Have kids. There you go. And be blessed.
Yes.
Amen. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. And friends, if you'd like just a little bit more information on some of this, I'd encourage you to our Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, just a short little book that brings out some biblical principles relating to these issues, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.